Hi, welcome to Cochrane Alliance Church and our online sermons. We are so glad you are able to join us. We pray that this sermon will be a blessing and an encouragement to you this week.
This morning, as we continue our series called Jesus Is, we're going to explore Jesus Is the Prince of Peace. And if you have a Bible, you can turn already to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 35, and that's where we're going to be. As you turn there, let's reflect together. If you have lived in Alberta for any length of time, you know the realities of winter driving, which unfortunately seem to be coming very soon. One of my most vivid and potentially scariest memories of winter driving was when Jenna and I one time were driving home from Edmonton to Calgary. And as we were driving home, a big storm had picked up. And it was one of those whiteout storms where you could barely see what was in front of you as the snow came down and blew. And it was quite nerve-wracking to be on the road at that time. But you didn't want to stop either and pull over because you feared that if you did, maybe someone would come up behind you and you would get rear-ended. So we thought the best was to continue to keep going, but to go very slowly, which we did. And as I clutched that steering wheel so tightly as we drove home that day, I remember the one thing that I could see was a little bit of the white line along the side of the highway. And all I did is I kept my hands locked on that wheel and my eyes locked on that line to make sure that we stayed on the road and actually got to where we needed to go ever so slowly. It was the longest drive we've probably ever taken from Edmonton to Calgary, but we were so thankful when we got out of that storm and we arrived home safely. Well, our text today reflects on a storm that Jesus and the disciples found themselves caught in as they too were sailing across the Sea of Galilee. And so we will pick up our text together, Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this?" Even the wind and the waves obey him. I'm curious, as you hear that, if you were to think of yourself in that place with Jesus and the disciples that day, what would your posture have been in that boat? Would it have been similar to the disciples' fear, anxiousness? Would it have been trust? Would have you been as Jesus was, sleeping peacefully in the stern? I imagine we all would have panicked to a varying degree. How about when you encounter a storm in life? The storms you face may be as diverse as the circumstances of life, a strained relationship, a problem at work, finances, a recent health diagnosis, and the list goes on. What do you believe about God when the storms of life hit? When a crisis comes into your life, do you believe that God is a good God? Or do you believe that he is a bad God for allowing such things to happen? When you pray during the storm, do you see God as caring or uncaring, depending on how he answers? Well, based on our text today, I want us to understand this about who Jesus is. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I can have faith in him and not be afraid in the storm. Before we get to the storm, though, we need to realize why the disciples are even in this storm in the first place. It was Jesus who said to the disciples, "Let us go to the other side," to which the disciples followed the lead of Jesus. Think about that. Following Jesus was what brought the disciples into the storm. Now, I don't think no one willingly seeks out a storm. The disciples and Jesus, what they encountered that day, our text tells us it was a great storm, far more intense and powerful than the usual windstorms that they probably would have encountered typically on the lake. Remember, at least four of Jesus' disciples who would have been in the boat that day, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were experienced fishermen. They knew the lake, they knew the weather, and yet this storm, as it's portrayed, was far worse than anything that they had normally experienced, and perhaps greater than any storm they had ever been in. And so here you have even these professional fishermen, people who are used to being on the sea in a storm, even for them, they were terrified beyond belief. And knowing that leads me to believe this about the storm. The storm was not natural, but supernatural. In my opinion, it was the work of the enemy, Satan. See, Jesus had just finished, before they get on that boat to cross to the other side, he had just finished teaching about the kingdom of God. And he was moving with purpose to make his Father known, renewing and changing lives along the way. As such, I do not doubt that the enemy wanted to get in the way of Jesus and anyone who might want to follow him. Which is why Jesus and the disciples find themselves in what I would say is a supernatural storm. The enemy will do whatever he can to stop the kingdom of God from advancing. See, it's not often that we think about our obedience to Jesus as being the reason that we find ourselves out in the middle of the storm. But the reality is, when we follow Jesus, we are placing ourselves in a battle that rages between God and Satan, between light and darkness, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the enemy. And as Christians, we too then are placed in this daily spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 reads, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Our real wars are spiritual." Knowing this, it should not surprise us when life is hard, especially if we love Jesus. Because when we love Jesus, we put ourselves in the battle between Satan and God's kingdom. There are times when we face storms or attacks because we start playing offense in the battle with the Lord and the devil. And it comes at us head on as we press into that enemy territory. See, we can be in the middle of obedience to Jesus, in the middle of obedience to his call, to his instruction, and then suddenly find ourselves in unexpected storms along the way. I know this to be true in my own life, in busy and productive seasons of ministry. This past March through May, I especially felt this to be true in my own journey. It was a season in which I was reflecting with Brent, actually, that God was really moving here. That there were really good things that were taking place within this church and within our town. that lives were being changed, that God was moving. And in May, our pastoral team spent a day out at Kingsfold to review and to plan for the fall. And as we ended our day, we took some time to each share about how we were doing personally and to pray over one another. Well, my turn came, and I shared how it seemed that in this season, those few months, our family just seemed to be taking blow after blow after blow. We were struggling a lot with our newborn who had just come in March, feeding, sickness, and sleep. I know this is the reality for just about every parent, and yet this just seemed to be even more. And in the midst of managing all of that, and in the midst of having absolutely no sleep, we had a variety of ongoing sickness that kept coming into our home. We had the early death of a family member, a difficult health diagnosis within our family, damaged relationships. And as I shared that through tears with the staff, I just said, I am so exhausted. I needed rescue. Oh, there goes my mic. I needed my God. Because I was living in the reality of this spiritual battle. Now, I know that we cannot attribute every hardship to a spiritual attack. But there is truth in the fact that Satan comes against us when we are living for Jesus. A spiritual battle is raging around us, and because of that, oftentimes we do encounter difficulty. That's the way life is. One moment you're doing fine, and the next moment the bottom seems to be falling out. Supernatural storms in our life come out of nowhere and hit with this intensity. One phone call and you find yourselves in the midst of the storm. One doctor's visit and you're in the midst of the storm. One conversation and you're in the midst of the storm. And this is not to say that every hardship is a spiritual attack, but again, that there will be times that we find ourselves experiencing spiritual oppression when we have chosen to follow Jesus. Spiritual oppression is real and comes from Satan. And to oppress means to press upon, to press upon, to overburden, to be cruel, to be unjust, to afflict, to crush, to overwhelm, to overpower, to smother, to subdue, to torment. Oppression is an exterior spiritual force that tries to quell and smother and control you. The devil tries to suppress our lives and the mission of God, which I believe is happening in the midst of this storm. So while saying yes to God does bring fullness of life, as promised in John 10, verse 10, it also brings the enemy against us as he seeks to steal and destroy the full life that God seeks to give. Trouble is a sign that you are on track when it comes to participating in the kingdom of God. When the Lord is moving in your life, you can anticipate that the enemy is moving as well. Just because our spiritual enemy is constantly looking for ways, though, to ruin our lives doesn't mean we have to live in defeat. The one who resides in us is far greater than the one who sets out to destroy us. Every storm we encounter has the potential to break us down. But this is why we must remember who is in the boat with us. The storm that the disciples face is real, and it's terrifying to the point that they don't know if they are going to survive. But the focus here is not on the power and the intensity of the storm. The focus is on who is in the boat, who is in the storm with them. And so with this in mind, we can say the focus and the point here is not that Jesus will calm the storms of our life. It would be easy to say, well, just as Jesus calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee that day, so he wants to calm the storms of your life. He will bring an overwhelming sense of peace into your life and get you safely to the other side. Wouldn't that be nice to just leave with that? This application has great emotional appeal and brings this wonderful sense of comfort to many Christians. But as author David Sakumbi puts it, this might actually be a better way to destroy faith than to create it. Because what happens if your marriage doesn't get fixed? What happens if the cancer isn't healed? Why can he heal her, but not me? Why can he calm her storms, but not mine? Why can he keep his boat from sinking, but not mine? What's wrong with my faith? See, the focus cannot be on surviving the storm. It is meant to be on the one who is in the boat with you, the Prince of Peace. See, Jesus never promised that we would not encounter suffering and hardship in this life. In fact, quite the opposite is true, as Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world, you will have trouble. He doesn't insulate us from the storms of life, but rather the promise from Jesus we find as we continue reading in John 16 is, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. See, the promise is not that Jesus will remove us from pain and suffering. It is a promise that he is with us, just as he was with the disciples in the boat. God does not prevent storms from coming, but he is a God who is both present through the storm and sovereign over them. Jesus not only stayed with the disciples during the storm, but he displayed his power over it when he did calm it. When the disciples found themselves overwhelmed and fearing for their lives, it was Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who calmed the storm. It is in adversity, when we come to the end of ourselves, that we see the power of God in our lives. In their adversity, the disciples experienced the power and peace of Jesus with them. And so, like the disciples, we can often feel overwhelmed in storms that we face in life. Satan likes to keep you in an environment, your mind, your emotions, and your life that's filled with chaos. He's an enemy of God and the Lord's people, and he doesn't want you to have peace. And so he'll use whatever means necessary to rob you of that peace, whether that comes in the form of anxiety or worry, stress, personal attacks, workplace drama, money issues, health problems, or family conflict. Satan will stoke the flames of conflict internally and externally to try to consume you. But in our own overwhelming circumstances, we often ask similar questions that the disciples did that day. Do you even care? Do you see me and my needs and my fears? Where are you, God? I'm about to die here. Why aren't you moving in my situation? Are you asleep? But Jesus is with you, ready to rebuke the storm, just as he did with the disciples. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, I had to look what this word standard meant, and the standard referenced in Isaiah 59, 19 is the Lord's battle standard. A standard is like a war flag that signifies conquest, authority, and that the Lord himself is ready to go to war with us. The raised standard or banner shows whose camp that you belong to. Raising the Lord's banner encourages his people that they belong to him and that they are under his protection, that he will fight for them. And so raising the Lord's banner also intimidates the enemy, putting the enemy to flight. Many of us are currently flooded by the enemy and circumstances we face. The situation or life itself may feel hopeless, and it might have you feeling powerless to fix it or even to just get through it. This is where my hope cannot rest in the storm being calmed, but it must be found in the person of peace. Life is not perfect, but God will keep you in perfect peace. Hope is found in the Prince of Peace, who is raising a standard against the enemy for you. His presence is with you, and he has the power to bring peace in your life. I like how Robin Meadows captures this idea when she says, "Peace is not the absence of difficulties, but rather it's the presence of a trustworthy person who sees us, cares, and will never abandon us. He speaks to our fears, our whys, and what ifs. Hush. Calm down." This is the promise that we also find in Psalm 23, when it reads, "I shall fear no evil, because you are with me." It's not, "I shall fear no evil because you will remove it or remove me from the evil." No, we do not need to fear because the Prince of Peace is with us. The biggest life storm that my wife and I encountered together was when we navigated 3 years of infertility. Before our first daughter, Kinsley, was born, only to be met with 6 more years of infertility before our second daughter, Adeline, was born. The effects of infertility are without number. Physical, emotional, social, spiritual, marital. It can easily consume every thought, every decision, every relationship. Pursuing treatment invades your calendar, your finances, your home, and your body. And yet it often remains a hidden struggle because it's not really the easiest casual conversation to have. And when you try, many are unable to understand the pain and the emotion if they've never experienced infertility themselves. The storm we found ourselves in was not one that we could have ever imagined or anticipated. Times of feeling sadness, when your longings seem like they will never be reality. Anger and confusion as your hopes and prayers feel as though they are met with silence. Hurt from comments that point out, "Why don't you have a child? You should start a family. Why don't you have another child? Grief. As month after month, another pregnancy test comes back negative. In our longing to have family, every month we would go through this repeated cycle of hope, then fear and disappointment. Year after year of medical appointments, tests, and treatment, with hope being deferred countless times. It was painfully difficult to wrestle with the goodness of God in an unexplained infertility. Why, God? If you knew that we would be met with disappointment after each treatment, after each try, why drag it out? Do you not see how much pain this is causing? Don't you care? And yet we often came back to the words of the song, goodness of God. They say, I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Man, was it hard to sing these words in the midst of the storm. And often I couldn't. All I could do was listen and hold my wife's hand as we wept. But in all the hurt, in the sadness, grief, despair, and pain, we worked to never lose sight that the Prince of Peace was with us. We were so grateful and thankful for our parents and close friends during this time as they sat with us, reminding us that we were not alone, as they prayed for us and as they walked with us. And still, we longed for our circumstances to change. And we certainly prayed for that. Even when they didn't, though, we still followed Jesus and trusted in him. His presence with us is what we trusted in. Not changed circumstances. And because of that, it allowed for there to be peace in our storm. In our second chapter of infertility, we finally came to this point where we said, we just couldn't keep doing it. We asked God to give us peace in the family that we had and to help us lay down our hopes of having another child. And we could do that not because circumstances changed or we were out of the storm, but because of who was with us, the Prince of Peace. You know, as most of you know, and I said at the start, God did provide us with two beautiful daughters. And both came at times that we were not going through treatment. We see each girl as a miracle that God provided. And I know that this is not how the story works out or has worked out for many who are in a similar storm. And if that's you, I would say Jesus has not forgotten you. He is in the boat with you as you are going through the storm. At the end of the day, peace did not come from doctor appointments, from fertility treatments, from scheduling and testing. Our peace was found in God alone. He alone was able to be our peace, regardless of how our dream for a family turned out. This morning, you might be wondering if God is present with you in your pain. It could be loss, failure, physical or mental illness, stress, many other experiences. Maybe this has left you asking if God is truly with you. And I think Jesus comes back to us and asks us the same questions he asked the disciples after calming that ferocious storm. Why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust me yet? Where is your faith? God's promise is that he is the Prince of Peace and that he is with you in your pain. Jesus can calm the storm of your life, and we see it in our text. But even if he does not, you can trust that he will uphold you. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him," or "you keep her," "you keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because they trust in you." When Jesus gave the command to the disciples to go to the other side, there was purpose. They weren't just going out for a leisurely sail on the water. There was great purpose. It was to accomplish a kingdom purpose. In each of the Gospels, the narrative we read today is followed by Jesus casting out a legion of demons that were possessing a man. This is what was waiting on the other side. Why is this relevant? Because we are not meant to stay in the storm. There is another side to your storm. And I do not know what that will look like for you, but you are not meant to live your full life in the storm. God is moving with you in the storm, and he desires with you to partner with him in establishing his kingdom on the other side. See, if the disciples had been on land, they could have had shelter and safety, but they would have missed out on what was on the other side. See, to that man who was possessed by all these demons, not in his right mind, when they get to the other side, Jesus brought peace to that man. He spoke and he rebuked those demons just as he rebuked the storm. And he brought inner peace to that demon-possessed man. He continued to establish his kingdom. Jesus does not take us out into the middle of the sea to drown us. He takes people across the sea so that they can participate in his work of redemption with him. 2 Peter 1:4 says this, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." Nothing you are going through is meaningless. Everything can be redeemed. Everything we experience, God can use to further his kingdom and to change lives, just as he changed the life of that demon-possessed man who waited on the other side of the storm. Jesus brought hope and peace into his life. God can use your faith and experience in the storm to give hope to another. So I want you to ask yourself, what can or what is Jesus doing through your suffering? If you are in the storm right now, I ask you to reflect on a different question. Where is he? Where is Jesus in your storm? Where is the Prince of Peace in your trauma? Do not let the presence of the storm cause you to doubt God's presence with you. Just because a storm is present does not mean Jesus is not. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we close. As they do, let me say, do not be afraid, for Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is with you. I'm going to close by reading a prayer that I'd ask you to join in with me. And the prayer is written by Rachel Wojo in the book, in a devotional book. This is what it says. Would you pray with me? Father, I need you. I need your Spirit to fill me with peace. There is nothing more I can do today. Physically, I am exhausted. Mentally, I am depleted. Emotionally, I am overwhelmed. But you are present, never changing, always offering peace. It is you who keeps me, you who sustains me, you who holds me in your hand, never letting go. God, it is your peace that is perfect. It's not something I can create by lighting a candle. It's not something I can generate through reconciling differences or exercising more restraint. Your peace knows no boundaries. It has no limitations. There is no divide so large that it cannot span. There is no well so vast that it cannot break down. Your peace is all-powerful, all-consuming, and all-encompassing. It is perfect, and I can't wrap my mind around it entirely. Heavenly Father, would you shift my eyes from the storm to your strength? When I feel like I can't handle any more turmoil or tumult, focus my perspective on your sovereign grace. Channel my reflections to your promises of mercy. Steady my thought stream and cause it to flow with your abundant, supernatural peace. God, I trust you to provide supernatural peace beyond what I can understand. I trust you to be the one who is in control of all things, the one who loves us beyond our capability to comprehend, the one who listens to all our distressed cries and distraught prayers. The one who supplies perfect peace through our fiercest storms. Amen.